Welcome to the Explore More podcast. I'm your host, Haley Cotty. Each week, I will bring you inspiring stories, lessons, and interviews from people who are exploring more of life and having adventures along the way.
This is Haley with the Explore More podcast, and I'm here with one of our Explore More landlopers, Jessica Coleman, who leads some of our hiking yogas in the Dallas area. So Jessica, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, yes, I can do that. So I lead a couple of yoga and hikes in the DFW area. I've been doing one at Oak Cliff and then the Oak Cliff Nature Preserve, and then also the Boulder Park. Both of those are Dorba maintained. They're really great hiking, very different in both places. And so far it's been super great, even though it's hot, like everybody's been bringing plenty of water. So in addition to that, I also am a therapist. And so, I use yoga with my therapy too. So I've been doing that for a while, and I do like behavioral stuff.
Awesome. Well, I know you said you got certified about 2 months ago, but you've been a therapist for a little bit longer, right?
Yes. I've been a therapist for about 3 years, official. So
awesome. And do you specialize with any like kids or groups or families, or what kind of therapy do you do?
Yeah, I do work with a lot of kids, but I also work with adults. I work with autism mainly. Then I also, no, it's not all autism that I work with either. And a lot of LGBTQ as well. And I use a lot of it's called ACT, and it's acceptance and commitment therapy. So it's actually really mindful and really that's the kind of therapy that I like to use, in addition to the CBT, kind of the standard, like gold standard for what we're supposed to use anyway. So.
That's awesome. And how did you get into that?
Which part of that? Sorry.
Just therapy in general. Like, what made you want to do therapy?
Good question. When I started college, I always wanted to go into the medical field, and I wanted to be a doctor or a surgeon. And so anyways, when I started college, I was actually going to do biomedical engineering. And I was going to go to A&M, and I was all these things. I was pregnant, and so I delayed that, and I went to community college, and I started going, and I was I could still do nursing or dietitian. And not that was over, it's just I realized that wasn't really what I wanted to do anyway. And so then I took a psychology class, and I was I do not get this at all. I do not get the human brain. I don't understand. And I was I think I need to figure this out. So I changed to psychology. And then after that, when I went for my master, I don't really know what I want to do with this. And then I was okay, I could be a therapist, and I could help people. And then I could also understand more about because I don't get people. So, which sounds kind of weird, but it's really cool. So, I do not regret my decision at all. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I don't understand the human brain very much either, but it is fascinating. I try to learn more all the time. So I actually we had our backpacking trip a couple of weeks ago, and there was a girl on the trip she's a special needs teacher, and she does a lot of breath work and yoga and stuff like that with her special needs students. Mm-hmm. And she said it makes a huge difference. Have you noticed stuff like that with you said you use yoga in your therapy, and I know you also have your meditation, so you can tell us a little bit about that too.
So I've definitely used different breathing techniques throughout therapy. You learn different ones, like square breathing, right? So you in for four, hold for four, out for four, and then hold it at that part for four, and back in and out, kind of like a square. There's all kinds of cool little, I love working with kids, because on some of those tools, and they're so receptive to that. I don't know if that makes sense, but like more so than adults. Like adults are like, breathing, that's dumb, you know, like, oh, that's not gonna help, or you know, things like that. But like kids are like, absolutely, you want me to like lay down and put this like stuffed animal on my stomach and try to keep it on there and breathe, like, ah, in, you know, like it becomes a game and it's super fun. So I've definitely noticed that like they love it. And the ones that I have worked with, at least, a lot of times they'll like be excited to show me that they still like remember the skill. So they'll come in and be like, hold on, I've got to show you this, you know, and show me something that we did, you know, the time before or something like that. Like if we did a rectangle shape, whenever they did, you know, so it's really cool because they get excited. And I had one not long ago that I taught them like alternate nostril breathing several months ago. Didn't seem super into it. And then like just in the past like couple of weeks, they were like, oh yeah, I used that this week. And I was like, okay, I'll take that. So, so it's kind of like just little seeds. And again, like I said, kids just seem so much more receptive to it sometimes than adults are. Not that they're not receptive, but unless they're like looking for it. But yeah, I am on Insight Timer as well. So that is meditations, basically teachers, and I'm one of them, go on and record, you know, different meditations, and some of them include movement, some include like yoga nidra, so the yoga sleep, and that sort of thing. I'm very recently on there, so, and I'm trying to do like one a week, so I have three on there right now, and one of them is kind of for anybody, and then the other one is specifically for kids on progressive relaxation. And so it's modified, it's not like every single body parts, and so it's just a couple and some breathing, and then there, one of them has music with it too, so you can choose one with or one without. So
that's cool. I need to do those with Bella. I do my three-year-old, and so I do that. Yeah. I do the we'll do kind of like a little meditation before bed. And I started doing body scans with her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't, I mean, she like, she'll have her eyes shut. She's like, head, tummy. And she'll like totally like touch them. And I'm like, okay, you're supposed to sit still, but whatever. We'll just go with it. And she loves it. Now she asks for it. Like every night before, I mean, she's totally procrastinating going to bed. But she, every time I put her to bed, she's like, you got to do a body scan. Like, oh, okay.
That's awesome.
I know. So I need to play your meditation for her and see if she likes listening to one done by somebody else. Because yeah, that would also be nice if I could like play it in her room and just leave and not have to put her to bed every night like that. So we'll see. It might end up working out for us.
Well, let me know. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Hopefully.
I will. So let's go over to like the outdoor side. Because I know when we met, I noticed you were an avid trail runner and now you lead the hikes and everything. So tell me a little bit about that, how you got into it, kind of what you do. Outdoors wise.
Yeah, I mean, just generally I like to camp. Like we were actually just talking today, okay, where are we camping this month, right? Like that's just something we like to do. It's like a getaway for our family. But like with trail running, I actually got into that. I had been doing road running and I had been doing it and it was, you know, it was road running and I was like, oh, I've got to get fast and all this sort of thing. And then one of my friends was like, hey, why don't you come with me to this trail race? And we went and we basically goofed off the entire time. And we did a half marathon in like, I don't know, like 5.5 hours. Cause we were like goofing off and taking, like, it was really pretty fun actually. And I was like, I love this. I want to do this all the time. And so, I really shifted like my physical goals, I guess, to more like endurance running. And so with trail running, it's a real slippery slope into ultra running. And so I wound up just a couple months later, it was a road, but I was only supposed to do, it was like a looped course and it was through Tulsa and it was like a 25-mile loop and it's through the city and you have, you know, all this. And so I was supposed to just do 25 there and then later do like the next day or something, do 25 with someone else who was running 100 miles. And I, instead I was like, I feel good. I'm just going to keep going. And then I still went ahead and did it. And then like went back out with that person still later. Like, so, and it was just like, I love it. And so, and then like just getting to take like, I mean, running 100 miles, it takes a long time, or, you know, 50K or anything like that. But when you're doing it in the woods, it is like this just nice, like, getaway. That's like me time.
Yeah. I feel like everyone I meet who's a trail runner is also an ultra runner. Like, I don't right. know many people who are like avid trail runners who are not also already or trying to become an ultra runner.
Mm-hmm. So yep, it is. It cracks me up. It's just a slippery slope.
Yeah. I've been trying to get into it this summer. And so I still only do like 2 or 3 miles at a time, but
that's it's awesome.
Still better than nothing.
Yeah. And it is just like, it's just a whole different experience. Not just than road running, but it's like, I mean, I used to like to do like my long runs or whatever on Sundays. And now I'm a little bit more all over the place because pandemic is just, you know, everything's out the window, COVID. Really. Yeah. It's just, you know, whatever. But I mean, I used to go out on Sundays, and like, it was like my church, right? Like mm-hmm. getting to just go run and like be by myself and be like in nature and, you know, squirrels, birds, all that sort of thing. Like it was just awesome.
So. Yeah. I love it. So what, do you have any advice for someone who's trying to get into trail running?
Like, to not be cliche, like, I'm going to say this and it sounds cliche and like Nike, but just like, just do it. Right. Like, just like, I don't know anybody who has tried it and was like, you know, I'm never doing that again. Right. Like, even if it like sucked, they are like, oh, that hurt. They're like, all right, when am I going out next? You know, like, and there are like, even though it's Dallas, right. There are still so many cool trails, like Cedar Ridge, like even the nature preserve side, that's not a very long loop. Like, mm-hmm. And depending on when you go, it may not be heavily trafficked either. And to just go run that and be like, okay, did you make that?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say just do it and not even if it's, you know, get other people to go with you. Cause I think that's another thing with, trail running that I really value is just like the community that it brings with it. And like I said, like, you know, the first one I ever went to, like, we just goofed off the whole time. And not that there isn't serious, like, there are people who are like definitely crushing it, but even at that, they're not like elitist. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it is, it's out there. It doesn't matter what degree you have or who you are or where you come from. Like, you're all on the same level playing field. Like, so yeah, I'd say just do it and then like get people to go with you and bring water. That.
Yes. Is important.
Yes.
You're not going to run by a gas station that you can run inside and grab water.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Yeah. So get used to that, or like have a little cooler that you could just get back on your car when you circle back or something. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. So I know for our hike and yogas, we also kind of focus a little bit on forest bathing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that and share with us kind of what forest bathing is, how you like to do it, how other people you know might be doing it? Because it is kind of a versatile thing.
But. Yeah, absolutely. So so with forest bathing, it's essentially bathing in the forest, but really just being in, you know, forest or nature and really just kind of soaking it in and letting your body really be able to experience it and respond to it. So so with that, I like to do it, like, whether, and not always with running, right? Like, even just so you go, you just go be in it, right? Like, you can go sit in it, you can go walk in it, you can go sit on a bench, you know, whatever is most comfortable for you. Something I like to do too is just take off my shoes and walk, like, and sometimes it's cool, like, if it's really cold or if it's really hot, like, you're getting to really just experience those different extremes and notice them, and take off your shoes and just kind of like hang out there for a little while and like really soak it in, right? Like literally through your feet and all the rest of you too. There's this cool book called The Nature Fix, and so a lot of like what I originally have, like what turned me on, I guess, to forest bathing was that book. And then I was like, oh, and like, there's so much research, right? And like different countries actually like prescribe going out in nature, and it like reduces stress and very natural. And like, you think about, even now, like if someone is experiencing depressive symptoms, right? Like people will be like, okay, like, sure, there might be all these other different things, but like going outside is one of the, you know, one of the first things that people always say, okay, like, do you go outside? Do you go for walks? Like, vitamin D is a big thing, you know, and then oxygen from the trees, like, all of that's real and your body is designed to use that. So like, we should do that. Yeah, sorry, I just started talking and then I hit a wall. No, I don't know where it went, but
that's perfect. No, that's okay. Perfect. That's exactly what I love and want people to know and realize, that intentional time outside, especially in natural areas, is needed. Like, we have a trail right behind our neighborhood they just put in. It's like brand new, that goes back into the trees. And it's gorgeous. And I post about it all the time. So I'm like, people don't even realize, like, they live right next door and they don't even realize they can walk outside and it's right there. And you don't have to drive 30 minutes to go to a state park to find forest or natural areas.
Right. I mean, that's cool too. But I mean, but yeah, you're absolutely correct. Like, they're all over. And sometimes you don't know where they are. If you Google, you know, random trails, like, you can probably find them, or the Trails app.
Oh yeah, All Trails app. I'll tell people to download that all day long. I love that app. Mm-hmm. We use it on all of our vacations too, and find a ton of new trails every time. Like, I found we went to visit friends in Utah and we found this little 1 mile trail out and back that went up to a waterfall in their neighborhood, and they had no idea it was there. They were like, oh, that's so cool, we're gonna go all the time now. And it was so cute.
So you help them find something that was right by them. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So, share with us a little bit about your hike and yogas that you do with Explore More. I mean, I know I talk about mine all the time, but share with us, like, kind of your format and how you do it. Cause people are loving your trips, by the way. So you're doing a great job.
Yay, fun. So, you know, at the beginning you get signed in, we start with the yoga. It has been how I've been doing it. So that's, you know, between 20 to 30 minutes. I try to tailor it and give a lot of different options. It's all standing, so there's no equipment required. Very, like, you can touch the ground if you want, but you're like, everything should be it where you don't have to either. I try to give like a lot of different options for wherever your body is feeling at the time, for that. And a lot of it is really, the practice is really tailored towards getting ready to go hike. There's a lot of balancing and single leg stuff. It's like, hiking that's all it is doing that constantly for a while. And then at Boulder Park, we've been doing a little longer loop, almost 5 miles. And that one is cool because it takes you through a lot of different terrain, really, and even through this river. And then at Oak Cliff, it has so many, it's got a main loop, and then it's got several different kind of little offshoots that are different distances. And so with everyone that we go out, I'm going to change the route a little bit. So this last route we did, it was about 4 miles total. And then I'm going to try to keep them around there too, but each time we'll kind of do a different loop. So it's not like it's not the same one every time. So, And then afterward, we just kind of like hang out and talk, and, you know, everybody sticks together as much as possible. And, And we just get there at the end, and it's really cool. Like, everyone's always really excited. So I do encourage bringing your own water, but we try to have water there too. So. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We always want people to bring their own water bottles, because we don't want to use the plastic water bottles if we can help it. Right. But obviously we don't want to be without water either.
Exactly. So, and then they're at 2 to 4 on a Sunday. So the trails aren't very highly trafficked. So it really is, I think, but it was like, what, two weeks ago that we had the one at Oak Cliff, and we didn't see another person the whole time we were out there. So that was
pretty awesome. That's great. So with the whole COVID pandemic, because we are recording this during a pandemic, what are some of the things that I know you wrote a blog post for Explore More about it, but what are some of the things that you like recommend or tips that you give people to kind of try to keep their mental health healthy during this time, because it can be kind of taxing on people's mental and emotional and spiritual health, just with everything going on.
100%. Something that I suggest, and something that I have really been working on for myself, is really just allowing time to rest. Because I think with the pandemic, especially at the beginning, right, there was this push for like, oh, like you can bake 72 cakes like in an hour, you know, whatever, like how productive can I be? And like, that's not really healthy either. So really kind of giving yourself some grace, right, with that, some grace and some space. Like I took a nap today and I'm not mad about it. Like I'm like so proud of myself for that, right? So yeah, no, I would definitely say like giving yourself space to, and really like, because we're mourning, right? Like we're mourning the way life used to be. We're mourning getting to see everybody that we want to and hug them all and like not be worried about them, that, you know, passing something to them that we don't even know if we have or not, right? And like kind of this really scary thing. And so just giving yourself some of that space. I definitely, like, that's 100%. Like, especially for parents, because parents like, we're, and then like the upcoming year, right? Like we have so many choices that we have to make. And no matter what we do, like it's hard. Like it's just hard no matter what. And it's different for every family on what's the best choice for them, right? And I think that's the other thing too, is like not comparing. And I think that kind of even goes back to the productivity, not comparing your productivity to other people and not comparing like, oh, well, this is what we're doing, so that either makes us better or worse than the people next to us. Or, you know, comparison like kills relationship, right? I mean, just in general. So, So I would definitely say that. Still reaching out like to people as much as you can, like, you know, we're doing this Zoom thing. We have a friend every Friday night, we Zoom with them, right? Like, so still keeping those connections, even though digital and everything, like as much as it's weird, it's not the same, but it's, I don't know, better than staring at my wall, I guess. So,
that's true.
Yeah. So, and maybe I need to stare at my wall for a little bit. That's okay too. But, no, and then like getting outside safely, right? And then as much as you can, because sitting inside and, you know, it's hard. It's hard.
You have two kids. So how have y'all been handling that and trying to keep them besides the Friday Zoom calls? Like, what are some things that you could suggest to maybe some other parents about how to keep the kids happy and engaged and social? Like, it's hard.
Yeah, 100%. Like, so we kind of have a couple of friends where like they'll randomly FaceTime or, you know, whatever. And I've always been kind of surprised because I'm like, oh, like they're not going to talk very long. And then they're like still talking like 2 hours later. And it's just like, they're not even really like talking. They're just showing each other random stuff, or like, they're just like doing stuff like parallel, you know, but they're still like together, but it's to them, like that's, it's still connection. Right. And so that fits. So I would definitely say that, and kind of going back to like the productivity thing, like playing a game with your kids or hanging out with them or going and doing sidewalk chalk outside or, you know, baking the cake with them or, you know, whatever, make a weird TikTok video. I don't know, like doing something with them, I think is so valuable because like they're experiencing all of this too. Right. Like my daughter, like I can tell like she misses school. Like I ordered some things and like she ripped them open. It's like a spelling and a cursive, but you know, fractions or whatever. And she like immediately made it back to it. Like they missed it, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe not all of them missed the schoolwork part of it, but like she did. And so, you know, but being able to do stuff with them, and like I have been fortunate, extremely fortunate, to be able to kind of transfer a lot of my work to home. Not everything has transferred, but, and of course, like the hikes, like that's separate, right? And that's, we social distance there as well. But I was able to do that. And with that, it wasn't like, okay, well, if I'm gone all the time, like it was hard to play games and do all those things. But now like being home with them, like I can see like, oh, like 15 minutes to play Uno or whatever is not like, it's that small little thing, right? Like it doesn't have to be, you don't have to hang out with them all day, right? But just a few small things here and there And just including them in whatever you're doing too, I think is, if you're doing yoga or, you know, something like that, be like, hey, come do it with me.
Yep. We always give Della a little notebook and a pen when we're working, and she'll sit down next to us and just draw. And she'll be like, I'm working.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there you go. Keep working. Because we have to answer emails.
Right, exactly. And, you know, like, or giving them like little activities, like I'll tell them, like, make a story for me, or, you know, they're draw this thing, and like they come up with their own, like, kids are creative, and like sometimes they just need a reminder that like they're not stuck to video games, and that they have imaginations too. Maybe they'll create a video game. I don't know.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of very amazing creative things that are going to come out of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Like art, video games, books, all kinds of stuff. Just like from people being like having their creative sides come out more because they can. I'm excited to see what comes out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, well, the last question that I ask everyone is, what makes someone an explorer, in your opinion?
I think that what makes someone an explorer, I'm going to go with my gut, my first instinct to answer that question, is to basically, I think someone's an explorer if they have a mindset of curiosity, right? Like if they're not fixed, and I'm hoping I'm explaining this the way that I'm wanting it to come out. But basically, like, I think like being curious about like, okay, what is it? Cause not, you know, even if it's, you're going out and forest bathing, or you're going out and you're running, or you're hiking, or, you know, something, like, not every woods is the same, right? And so being curious, I think, to like what that is. And I think that transfers to life too. Like, you know, like, are you curious about what's out there that's not just in your little bubble? Like, and, you know, are you willing to go seek it out and go check it out? And, you know, maybe you think it's cool and maybe you don't, but are you curious about it? I think that's my answer.
I love that answer. That's great. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much. And
yeah,
I'll let you go for your next call, but I'll talk to you later.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Explore More podcast. I hope you enjoyed our conversation and got something out of it, because I know I did. If you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, follow on Facebook and Instagram, the Explore More, and tell your friends. And don't forget to take a screenshot and post it and tag me, because I would love to see who's listening and what you're thinking and what you're pulling from the episode. Have a good day and keep exploring.